This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Ben Hartsock is going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. Chris Titone, Adam Sandler's brother-in-law, is going to join us as we'll talk a little Happy Gilmore 2 that comes on out tomorrow on Netflix. But now it is a Thursday, but we're treating it like a Friday because I'm off tomorrow. So we got to update you on some questions, and I'll give you some answers. We call this segment Onside Offside, and we do it right.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All righty, Stu, what do we got?
All right, the Jets, they got a real scare earlier today as new starting quarterback Justin Fields was carted off of the field with a leg injury. But reports indicate that it was just a toe injury with no fracture in that toe.
Would have thought that he lost his foot this morning,
yeah,
with the way that the reporting was going. He got carted off. All right, he did get carted off. It is a factual statement. But he has what? It's a dislocated right toe that's not his big toe.
Yeah. Day to day, I believe, is what I saw the report saying as well.
Yeah.
So, despite being on his third team in 3 years, Fields is 9-10 with 21 touchdowns and 10 picks over his past two seasons with the Bears and Steelers, adding another 900 yards and 9 touchdowns on the ground. Onside Offsides, Fields can still resurrect his career with the Jets and be a long-term starter.
That's Offsides. I know this is a two-year deal. If he gets another year after this two-year contract, another contract, I would be stunned. Absolutely stunned. I think that this is a stopgap year. Maybe you get 2 years at most, but I don't think that he's going to be their longtime starter in New York. We've seen it in Chicago. I know that you could blame more the Bears than him, but they gave up on him. Pittsburgh, things were going okay, and they gave up on him. Do I expect him to put it all together with gangrene? There could be some moments, right? Like 2-3 weeks where he plays well. But do I think at the end of the season, you're going to say, oh, this guy I need for the long haul with gangrene? I don't think so. So Fields can resurrect his career with the Jets and be a long-term starter. Offside.
Offside.
And also, like, you've seen it recently. Sam Darnold had to leave the Jets to resurrect his career. Geno Smith had to be way gone from the Jets to resurrect his career. The resurrection doesn't usually occur with the Jets. Just to be clear, too.
All right, Bo Nix was one of the biggest surprises in the NFL last year, throwing for nearly 4,000 yards with 29 touchdowns and leading the Broncos to the playoffs as a rookie when most thought that Sean Payton reached when he took Nix 12th overall in the draft. Now, Nix has been meeting with Payton's former quarterback, that is, of course, Drew Brees, and the coach is impressed with Nix's desire to win.
He's someone that works his tail off, wants to improve. You know, the whole offseason is planned out. You know, he's gone and visited Brees for 4 or 5 days, and that's Tom House in here. And there's a lot that he wants to absorb in a fast period of time. And that's a great thing for a young player like that.
Where the heck are they? They got on a loading dock or something? I thought they had the racetrack at first. And I'm like, they had the loading dock?
There's a lot going on behind them.
I thought I heard cars at first. And then I started to hear as if maybe it's a dock of some sort, just with some of those noises in the background.
Yeah, it's loud.
High-pitched noises. Weird.
Onsides, offsides, Bo Nix will have more yards and touchdowns this year than he did as a rookie.
He threw for 29 touchdowns, you said, last year?
Yes, 29 touchdowns and 4,000 yards.
More yards and touchdowns? I don't think you're going to get both. If you maybe say one, okay, both, I'm not up to. I would say he gets more yards and fewer passing touchdowns would be my guesstimation right there. So Bo Nix will have more yards and TDs this year than he did as a rookie. I'm going offside.
Offside.
Marvin Harrison Jr. was considered a generational talent coming into last year's draft. But he had a disappointing rookie season for the Cardinals as Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., and Ladd McConkey all had more yards.
Let me tell you about that Ladd McConkey, Ben. That Ladd McConkey.
Meeting yesterday with the media, Harrison said that he's ready to live up to the high expectations.
I feel great. I mean, I feel the same. I mean, I feel, you know, more faster, powerful, stronger. So I'm ready to showcase it.
On to all sides, you still believe Harrison will wind up as the best receiver from his class?
That was the guy I was most confident in. I thought he was easily going to be a Hall of Famer. I still think he could be a great player in this league. Malik Nabers was a star last year. Brian Thomas Jr. was sensational. So I got to see more out of Marvin Harrison Jr. And who even knows how much longer Kyler Murray's going to be their quarterback. And I know the Giants, right? You don't feel great about their quarterback situation in Jacksonville. You don't either. That's what even makes what Nabers and Thomas did even more impressive last year. So you still believe Harrison wind up as the best receiver from his class? I'm going to go offside.
Offside.
T.J. Watt signed a monster new deal with the Steelers, but told in depth with Grant Bensinger that he is not focused on individual goals.
Winning a playoff game is absolutely motivating me. It's something that we haven't been able to do since I've been there. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely unacceptable. And that is what's attached to my name right now. And I have to answer for that. As much as it sucks when you say TJ Watt XYZ, you also say TJ Watt not won a playoff game.
That genuinely bothers you?
Oh, genuinely bothers me because I'm a part of those teams. As much as I'm only one player, as much as whoever is one player, like, you are putting your hand in the pile too. I feel like I can make a difference enough to help win a playoff game. And to have that to your legacy, TJ Watt, yeah, great individual player, but what's the team success?
Watt has played in four playoff games, totaling just one sack, which came in a 21-point loss to the Chiefs. Onsides, offsides, Watt deserves blame for the Steelers' playoff failures.
It is onside. He doesn't deserve the most blame, but he is on the team. I know he's been a great player, but like you said, the stats are underwhelming. Their biggest issue is they haven't been able to figure it out on offense the last few years. But yeah, TJ Watt definitely does deserve blame for the Steelers' playoff failures. But think how sad that is for the Steelers. You just hear TJ Watt. It's all about winning a playoff game. Talk about the Pittsburghs. Stu, this isn't your Raiders. We're talking about the Steelers. And the standard has fallen so much where it's not, oh, let's win a Super Bowl. It's, let's just see if we could win a playoff game. Ay, ay, ay. Watt deserves blame for the Steelers' playoff failures. Yes, on sides.
After failed stints as the Broncos head coach and Jets offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett has found a new job, but it may not be what you expect. Hackett, who has been an offensive coach since joining the league in 2006, is now a defensive analyst for the Packers. Hackett served as an assistant linebackers coach.
You said defensive?
Defensive. Defensive analyst for the Packers. So Hackett, he served as an assistant linebackers coach in 2003 with UC Davis, and as a defensive assistant for Stanford back in 2004. Onside, offsides, good football minds can seamlessly switch between coaching offense and defense.
Offside. That to me just means that the Packers still like him. They had to find a spot for him somewhere. But this guy is really in the NFL and had a lot of success in the NFL because of Aaron Rodgers. This idea, I think he was the OC or the quarterback coach when Blaine Gabbert had that good run with Jacksonville. Or Blake Bortles, excuse me. Not Blaine Gabbert, but this idea that Nate Hackett's really going to make an impact on the defensive side of the ball for the Packers. The only way that that could work, I guess, if he goes to the defense, hey, this is what I expect the offense to do. And then the defense just does the opposite because he was so, like, this is a bizarre question here. I'm going offside. I don't think they can make a seamless transition. Matt Patricia was a great offensive coordinator, let me tell you. Juan Castillo with the Eagles. Remember that stuff, too? No, this is offside.
Offside!
Big Ten media days are wrapping up.
Nate Hackett, don't you just have to pack it up at that point? A defensive analyst? Defensive analyst. And he said, last time he was on the defense side of the ball was UC Davis? That was in 2003. Yeah, pack it up. Go home. Retire. I know you're 45, but retire.
Big Ten Media Days are wrapping up, and today we got some big-time programs at the podium, including USC, Michigan, and Iowa. The Trojans are led by Lincoln Riley. The Wolverines enter year two with Tyrone Moore, while the Hawkeyes still have longtime head coach Kirk Ferentz at the helm. Onsides, offsides, among these three coaches, you have the most confidence in Lincoln Riley.
Good job, Samter. Samter's just trying to trigger me. As Samter writes these questions, I could smell the troll coming out of Samter when he wrote this question and he typed it into the keyboard. Stinking Lincoln? You think I'm going to take him here? Now, Lincoln Riley's a good coach, let me be clear. Tyrone Moore beat Ohio State last year. And Kirk Ferentz is like Mr. Reliable. He's just a good coach. Not a great coach, but a good coach. Lincoln Riley had Caleb Williams, couldn't win the Pac-12. Lincoln Riley had all those great Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks at Oklahoma, couldn't win one playoff game. You know. So I have the most confidence out of those three, Sharon Moore, Lincoln Riley, and Kirk Ferentz in Lincoln. No. Offside.
Offside.
Dabo Sweeney is a two-time national champion, but has come under fire for some after some down years and his refusal to utilize the transfer portal. However, after winning the ACC championship game last year and making the college football playoffs, the Tigers are considered a top five team entering 2025, with some even ranking them number one overall. Onsides, offsides, Dabo has already proven his doubters wrong that he can win in the new age of college football.
This is offside. Let me preface this by saying I do believe in Clemson this year. But the question is, he's already proven his doubters wrong that he could win in this new age of college football. The standard at Clemson, in my opinion, with the way that Clemson was rolling, was not just to win the ACC. It was to win the ACC and compete and win a national championship. The last few years, right, we did see Florida State win the ACC. We did see Pitt win the ACC. We've all seen Clemson win it too. But they haven't been close to being a national championship contender. There is a difference in winning the ACC and then going and contending for the national championship. Dabo needs to prove that he could still go win a national championship this year. So he's already proven his doubters wrong that he could win in this new age of college football. I define winning for the Dabo standard, the Clemson standard. This is offside.
Offside.
LeBron's career is coming to an end, likely in the next few years. However, former Hawks guard Jeff Teague just threw a bomb at the King on the Club 520 podcast.
He was on steroids, bro. He had to sit out. He was on steroids for real. Legit was on steroids, bro. I'm allegedly. But like, he had to sit out. But y'all remember when they told him, like,
there goes the Clutch Sports allegations.
Y'all remember that, though? No. But they was like, he got everybody, they started testing for HGH. And they was like, yo. And he had to sit out. Like, he said his back was hurt. And he sat out for like 3 weeks. And he came back skinny. This is just, I was in the league. I remember. And he came back in. He was crazy, though.
Now, bro, that might have been the best Bron, bro.
All right, Teague has since backtracked, tweeting, quote, "Y'all weird. I was joking about Bron. He was just that dominant. Chill."
No. Jeff Teague tweeted that?
He did, yes.
I saw the initial comment. I did not see him walk it back. You literally said the guy took steroids, and you go, allegedly. Come on. So what's the question here? Sorry.
The question.
That's just ridiculous. If you got to say something, say something. Don't do, yeah. I said something. I don't like the reaction to something. So now all of a sudden, I was just joking around. What are we doing here?
Onsides, offsides, you believe there's a chance that LeBron may have used performance-enhancing drugs.
I would love this story to be true, if I'm being honest. I would love it to be true. I don't think it is true. And maybe I'm dead wrong on this. I feel like there's been so much steroid use in the NFL and so much steroid use, obviously, in Major League Baseball. Just in terms of my memory, and sometimes maybe my memory is a little bit hazy. I don't really remember talking a ton about steroid use in the NBA. So it is interesting that he lost 30 pounds. But this idea that I'm actually going to believe that there's a chance that LeBron may have used performance-enhancing drugs, yeah, I'm going to say offside on that one. Now, Stu, I have a bonus question here for you.
Okay.
In the aftermath of the passing of the great Ozzy Osbourne, who did die earlier this week at the age of 76, I've seen a lot of clips go around social media. This was an interview, Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne, with Howard Stern. Listen up about this trip once to Japan.
Sharon, why not bring other women into the bed? Did you ever consider that?
No.
Oh, no, I'm way, way, way too jealous.
You would die.
Yeah.
You would die.
Do you know one time I was in Japan with her, and I forgot I took my wife to Japan.
You forgot.
And I went out and got sauced up. I took a chick back to my room. She knocked the chick out, but it smashed me over there with a picture frame.
Is that true?
Absolutely true.
Actually, let me understand this.
I took my wife. How dumb can that be?
You were so high, you didn't even know Sharon was with you.
I flew like 11 hours to Japan.
And you were so high, you were going to cheat on Sharon.
Yeah.
He always does when he goes to Japan.
He cheats.
Yeah.
He does, and that gets you crazy.
That's not true. That's unfair.
Not every time.
Not every time.
You're all right with that, Sharon, if Ozzy cheats occasionally?
No,
she's not.
She's sitting in there.
If it was a relationship where he actually knew their name and like...
It took me this long to remember your name.
There's no chance of that.
Shut up. He was calling me by his first wife's name for the first 5 years we were together.
Oh, my. Really?
Yes.
So onside, offside, Stu. If let's just say you were cheating on your girlfriend and your girlfriend walked into the room and she saw the person you were cheating with, your girlfriend is justified to beat up the woman and not just direct her anger towards you.
No, she should beat up me, not the other girl.
I just wanted to have fun there. I just wanted to play the audio. I knew I was going to play the audio there, and I'm like, how the heck am I going to ask this question? So hopefully that doesn't put Stu in a difficult situation. Stu's girlfriend later when he gets home. You talk about cheating on me and how I would react to it? Stu's going to be sleeping on the sofa with the cats. This portion of the show is sponsored by the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event going on now. Get deals so right it almost feels wrong. Don't miss out. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. We talk to Ben Hartsock next and do a little preview of the Big Ten.
We miss college football.
Jenty, his first touch. And typical Ashton Jenty. Look at him go! You can't bring him down! Is he? Yes, he will!
We can't wait for the 2025 season.
Bo Howard with third and 11. He'll throw it. He's going for it. Jeremiah Smith, one-on-one. Game, set, match. Whenever you needed it, you got it. Will Howard to Jeremiah Smith. Biggest play of the game.
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we'll preview the Big Ten right now with Ben Hartsock, who played at Ohio State. Now does a great job, Sirius XM, Big Ten Radio, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Ben, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Man, good. Excited. Well, we got four more weekends till toe meets leather, so we're getting close.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I know there's week zero, but then you do have week one, and the Buckeyes start off the season with the bang in maybe the biggest game and the most highly publicized game of the season happening in week one up against Texas. I can't wait to see how that game plays out. I don't think there's a ton of pressure in terms of winning a national championship for Ohio State this year. I think they got to beat Michigan after just winning a championship last year. But you take a look at Texas. Oh, boy, buckle up with Arch Manning now getting the keys to the Ferrari for the Longhorns.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. Two new starting quarterbacks. Arch has obviously some starting experience going back to last season and packages throughout the year. But I think most people are taking a reasoned approach. It's, you know, there are those who want to anoint him because he is the closest thing we have to American royalty being a Manning, certainly sports royalty. But I expect Arch to have a first year. You know, it's going to, you know, we expect the upside. I was a teammate with his uncle with the Colts, and growing for Arch, maybe his biggest advantage is growing up within a family that you have the experience. I tell a lot about, you don't know until you get into a college environment what's like, that's like, unless you have a family member that grew up in it or that was in it that you grew up around. So for him to have been around the pro game and the college game is a huge advantage. That as big of a deal as it is to walk into the Horseshoe as a first time starter, he walked in doing that when his uncles were doing that. So there is a bit of a mental advantage for him in that situation. But he's going to be up and down. He's going to make bad plays. For crying out loud, if he was so good, he would have beaten out Quinn Ewers a year ago, but he didn't. So I expect him to be good, not great. I certainly wouldn't crown him the Heisman Trophy winner the way he's being crowned right now.
Do you anticipate when week one does roll around that Julian Sain is going to be the starting quarterback for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, that seems to be the case, and you know, it's there's a lot of speculation about him versus, well, the Big Ten as a whole, I guess, is looking at the experience of Drew Aller at Penn State versus the unknown of Julian Sain at Ohio State, and there's a trend in college football, so now that it's a professional model, that guys are staying longer. For crying out loud, the national championship game had two multi-year starters in Will Howard and Riley Leonard. So you take a guy like Aller that hasn't quite lived up to the five-star billing, but he's thrown the ball 900 times in his 3 years as a starter, now his third year as a starter, and that experience is valuable. But if Julian Sain steps in and lives up to the hype that we expect, and it's very quickly, Ohio State will pass Penn State as kind of the favorite in the conference. And you know, I think it's worth pointing out for both Arch Manning, Julian Sain, or even a Bryce Underwood, who's going to be the starting quarterback at Michigan this year, who's a true freshman, there is no more runway. We used to, as a sporting fan base, would give first-year starters a little bit of grace of let them take their lumps, let them take their highs and lows. No, the expectation for Buckeye fans is this guy should take them into a playoff and hopefully a national championship. Same way for Arch Manning, same way for Bryce Underwood. Maybe not a national championship or bust, but you better get Michigan back up to where they want to be. It doesn't matter that you're a year one starter. We've shortened the runway on everybody, and certainly starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, and NIL has to play a factor into that as well, because it changes the entire way how we evaluate these kids. But now, I was talking about in the newsroom before the show, Ben Hartsock, and somebody asked me, who do you think is going to start week one for Michigan? And I'm like, I think now it's going to be Bryce Underwood. You know, you have this Ferrari, don't let it sit in the driveway, start to drive it a little bit.
Well, you know, and there's a debate that I enjoy, that the discussion of, let's say that you don't want to damage Bryce Underwood, right? You, like you say, if he's a Ferrari in your driveway, do you want to send him to Oklahoma in week two to face off against that program that's dying to get back to relevance? You know, that maybe you let Mikey Keene take those lumps and let Underwood learn under, you know, do an Aaron Rodgers under Brett Favre, like learn from the master. But I don't think fans are willing to, wait that anymore. And it comes down to temperament.
And you know what the other thing is, Ben, sorry to cut you off. Are the players willing to wait? Because if you have a kid making all this money and he's not playing right away, maybe he just says after year one, I'll go elsewhere and cash in once again.
Yeah, I would be shocked. Let's say that Sharon Moore wanted to spoon feed, slowly introduce the talented quarterback, kind of like we saw what happened when Cade McNamara was benched for J.J. McCarthy. I by the end of the year, he'll be the starter. So I don't look at that so much as a pushback. It's just, if it's temperament of the quarterback. If Underwood has that cocky streak, that you can throw him to the wolves and say, hey, you're going to take your lumps, and let him play through that, kind of like Peyton Manning was his rookie year. Like Peyton Manning, his rookie year at the Colts, still famously holds the most interceptions for rookie record, most interceptions for a rookie to this day. But they knew that he had the gumption, he had the temperament to ride with that. But if you have another player that can get gun shy, if you go out and you throw three or four picks, if he goes out and plays in Oklahoma and gets boat raced, that can be damaging in a way that you can sometimes derail a player's career. I mean, to a lesser extent, Dylan Raiola last year was having some struggles. There was the loss to Illinois that he missed a real wide open opportunity and kind of lost the game, symbolically at his hand. And they needed to do damage control. Like, that happens to college quarterbacks. These guys can all make the throws, but can you navigate the highs and lows of learning how to be a grizzled veteran? And I saw the Nebraska Cornhuskers take the foot off of the gas, bringing in Dana Holgorsen was a part of that. But for Underwood, I'll be interested to see how they handle him, because he will be the starter by the end of the year. But do they spoon feed him like the Harbaugh era, or are they going to put him out there and let him take his lumps? I think will be an interesting facet.
Let's go to Nebraska, since you mentioned briefly there Dylan Raiola. I have big expectations for him in year two. I think people are sleeping on him, and I think this Nebraska team, I'm looking at like 8 or 9 wins this year, and I lean more towards 8, but I think they could have a really good season here.
Yeah, their schedule is, I've described it as accessible. I'm not saying it's playoff or bust, but their schedule lines up that if they take that next step, if they continue on the trajectory that we've seen them going, and a big part of that is going to be on Raiola's back, this is a team that could be in that Illinois discussion, that Indiana discussion from a year ago. Their schedule is good. Raiola needs to score more points. Like I said, I think that there was a conscious choice to take the ball out of Raiola's hand a little bit later in the season and let him develop. And I expect that to be the case with the new offensive coordinator this year, that they're going to roll back onto him to say, okay, now you know what these looks look like. Now you know what these stadium environments are like. So he needs to take that next step. And they bring in the transfer wide receiver's name escapes me. I don't have it here in front of me. I'm out of my home. But they've got they've got a mixture of wide receiver talent that's got a little more experience and a guy or two from the outside that should take them to that next direction. And the defense continues to have playmakers, and couple that with their advantageous schedule. And I think as long as Raiola continues to improve on it, what I would say was a reasonable first year as a starter, Nebraska could be making waves to the conference.
Ben Hartsock, what did you make of Cignetti's comments the other day? Because like, part of him is right. If the SEC is going to schedule that way, we may as well schedule 3 cupcakes basically as well. But then there's another part of me that I'm just irate with the constant bitch fest that goes on between the Big Ten and the SEC. And like, both conferences should just admit that, hey, they're pretty much similar these days. I know there's a difference in the one conference game, but these conferences are now on par with one another.
Yeah, it's kind of like sometimes someone cuts you off in traffic and there's a reasonable way to respond that if someone cuts you off in traffic, and then there's the way that Kurt Cignetti would respond if he got cut off in traffic. He's an inflammatory guy, and it's going to be love it or hate it. But I've had people ask about what's up with Indiana canceling the game with Virginia. And I understand that from a competitiveness. It's perplexing when Cignetti is so cocky saying that we'll take on anybody and everybody, but then you eliminate a Power 4 opponent in the future. That those things seem to be at odds with each other. But the bottom line is the structure it dictates in this situation, that Virginia game, it does no good for Indiana. Ohio State needs a Texas game to continue to, just build its brand bigger. Mm-hmm. But if you're a working class program like Indiana or Illinois or Nebraska trying to get up into that level of the upper end programs, you don't have the margin to put yourself at risk to play Virginia and potentially lose. It's not going to, if they continue, well, Indiana last year played all group of 5 or lower opponents and they make it into the playoff. So adding a Power 4 opponent, all that does is add unnecessary risk. And we are very much building these schedules nowadays to mitigate risk to get these teams into the playoff.
You know, at the end of the year, is Illinois in the playoff in your opinion? Because there's a lot of buzz with Bielma and Altmaier going into this season.
So they bring back, if not all, 4 or 4, maybe, or all of their offensive linemen. Caden Fagan, the running back, is a quality, a Big Ten caliber running back. Luke Altmaier, another guy with a huge amount of experience, cleaned up the turnovers from a year ago. They've got players at all 3 levels on the defensive side of the ball. So they have the framework. It's just thin.
one injury to one of those players, you lose Altmyer, you lose Fagan, you lose their DB that's going to be a first-round draft pick or an early-round draft pick at the end of the year. The next guy in, it's not like Ohio State. Ohio State lost two of its interior offensive linemen late in the season, and the next guys that step in are just the next generation of NFL guys. So it teeters on the ability for Illinois, everybody to stay healthy. That's one of the unheralded parts of Indiana's run last year, is everybody stayed healthy. Shoot, Curtis Rourke even had a thumb injury, but he never missed time, and that's another part of that recipe. Illinois has the guys to play, has the guys to compete for a playoff spot. They have a schedule that allows them to compete for a playoff spot. The only unknown at this point is their health.
I know Luke Fickell and Lincoln Riley, right? They seem like great hires when USC and Wisconsin made them. Is there any optimism that they're going to turn it around at their current institutions?
More optimistic about USC because of the fact that they are, I at least know what they are. They improved their defense from a year ago. They found their quarterback in Jaden Maiava. And so I see a path and a recipe that I feel like I know what I'm getting with USC. Wisconsin, unfortunately, I mean, guys, it's like bowl eligibility is kind of where this thing looks. And I would probably lean on the not being bowl eligible. And it's like stop and think for a second. We're talking about the Big Ten Conference, and we're talking about, okay, those mid-pack teams that could compete, and we're talking about Indiana, Nebraska, and Illinois. 5 years ago, we would have laughed at that conversation. And the fact that we're saying Wisconsin, USC, and Washington are the ones that are on the bottom third of the conference, like what world, how quickly this world can turn on its ear. So I hate that for Wisconsin because nobody lost worse in the elimination of the divisions in the conference worse than Wisconsin. They were a perennial Big Ten West, which made them a Big Ten title game contender, to now bottom third within the league. The home run hire that was Luke Fickell, all of that good vibe is gone. The attempt at going air raid was a complete failure. Luke Fickell said as much a year ago. Now he has to start from scratch. This feels like a new year one because he's starting over, trying to get back to what Wisconsin offensively was. But the problem is, going back to that runway argument, coaches don't get near as long a runway as they did in the past. So it's not a hot seat situation for him. It's just not gone. It's gone as poorly as it could have gone for what we thought was a home run hire.
We know that the Ducks of Oregon were great in the regular season, obviously not losing a game. And then come postseason time, sure, they won the Big Ten championship, but then the long layoff, they get smacked by the Buckeyes. You go into this year with the Ducks. What are you expecting out of them as they respond to the bitter ending to their season?
Yeah, it's they came in and won the Big Ten Conference. And so they should feel proud of the accomplishment. The biggest question I have for Oregon, though, is this is the first time in the brief head coaching era of Dan Lanning is he's going to have a quarterback without experience. Two prior were Dylan Gabriel and Bo Nix, both of those guys, huge quantities of experience under center. So now you've got a new guy sitting there. You lose Evan Stewart to the patellar tendon injury in spring practice. They've got plenty of talent coming in to replace all these guys. They've got guys all over the place. Mateo Uiagalelei on the defensive side of the ball will anchor that defense. But I think the most interesting facet of Oregon this year is the fact that they have a new quarterback in Dante Moore without a ton of playing experience.
And then also, when I look at Penn State, I know you touched on them a little bit. I'm usually not optimistic about Penn State winning big games, because I just don't trust Drew Aller and James Franklin in those big games. But there's been a lot of buzz there, and even I have looked at them and said, okay, maybe this is their year. When you read on Penn State and you look at them, what is that read?
Well, let's zoom out even a little bit more. For Penn State, if Penn State does slay its dragon and get a national championship, that is a massive win for the Big Ten Conference as a whole, right? Right. You mentioned all of the fighting between the SEC and the Big Ten over who's the greatest. If the Big Ten can have three straight years of national championships and have three different champions, would be such a mark. I can see the marketing posts for the next months for the Big Ten Conference as a whole. So that would be a win for the Big Ten. But for Penn State fans specifically, it is, if not now, when. It really is. So they bring in Trevor Peña. They bring in one other transfer wide receiver. I can't remember where he came from off the top of my head. But they bring in guys. But they lose Tyler Warren. Like, we've been joking. I've been listening to the guys at Big Ten Media Days, and they're talking about Tyler Warren was 50%, 70%, well, 1,000,000% of their production from offense a year ago is gone. But they bring back both of their running backs. They bring in some wide receivers that hopefully pan out the way that last year's crop of wide receivers did not. And you've got Drew Aller, like I said, 900 throws under his belt is a huge advantage. And it's not just the fact that they bring back that talent, their offensive line returns guys as well. It's not just that. It's that Ohio State is passing a baton, new quarterback, uncertainty there. Michigan passing a baton, uncertainty there. Oregon. So it's not just the fact that you have a bunch of talent. It's also that your main competitors this year have some uncertainty. So that if not now, when vibe is very, very prevalent in Happy Valley.
The last thing I'll ask you, Ben Hartsock, when you look at the value of the game, because Ohio State, right, they win the national championship, but they didn't beat Michigan. And I go into this year, I'm like, okay, Ryan Day has to beat Michigan. But even if he doesn't, right, we just saw they could still go win a national championship. In this new era of college football, where I still think the rivalry of Ohio State and Michigan is the best rivalry that the sport does have, how do you value the game now?
Yeah, it's as awkward as trying to eat your cereal with your non-dominant hand. It's weird. It feels so awkward that in a terrible situation. I was at that game. I took my family to that game last year in the Horseshoe. The fact that they lost the game, but they still, it was the best case scenario to the worst possible situation. Winning the national championship but losing to Michigan. Yeah, I still can't. It's the most unreasonable facet of my fandom that I can't get past. Usually I can, as a broadcast and as a college football analyst, I can disconnect from my fandom. This one is hard because everybody says, just, hey, don't worry about the Michigan game. Don't worry about it. No, we're worried about it. So here's what's bizarre is we won the championship, but we still feel like there's this asterisk that we're inflicting upon ourselves as Ohio State fans to say it's not enough. So we've got to go back this year and take care of that Michigan situation. But the reality is, we could, let's say in the next 3 to 5 years, 5 to 7 years, Ohio State wins another title or two, but loses the majority of the games to Michigan. I don't know how to wreck it. It's like balancing a checkbook. I don't know how to balance that account in my mind. But again, that goes back to the unprecedented era in history. Never in the 150 plus years of college football every time before this, beating Michigan was step one before you could then go to a Big Ten championship and then go to a national championship run. We've now disconnected that. You can skip that Michigan step and still achieve all of your goals. And I will tell you, as an analyst and as a fan, I don't know how to reconcile that.
One more just off of that. Would you rather this year, just winning the national championship a year ago, would you rather beat Michigan this year or win another national championship?
It is such a hard conversation to have. I know that the right answer is a national championship, but again, it feels like I'm punching myself in the face as soon as I say that.
Yeah, Ben Hartsock. You know what, Ben? Go blue, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Twist the knife. Try to just send me off.
Appreciate the time, Ben. You're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So there you go. Ben Hartsock right there. It is Zach Gelb Show. Here's Zach. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Earlier in the week, Roddy Jones joined us from the ACC Network, and I asked him, does he believe in the illustrious coaching career of Bill Belichick, that his final coaching stop is at UNC? Do you think Bill Belichick, this is his last stop in his illustrious coaching career? Do you think this, however it goes at UNC, that's it?
No, I think if I'm being completely honest, I don't think this is his last. I don't think he wants it to be his last stop. Now, whether the NFL, because I think that's what he would leave for, whether the NFL dictates that it's his last stop, that I don't know. I can't predict. But I think if he had it his way, he would get back to the NFL and he would chase the all-time wins record.
Samter, yes or no, UNC is Bill Belichick's final coaching stop?
No.
Where do you would you think it's back to the NFL or somewhere else in college?
Yeah, I think he's too proud of a person to not try to chase that record.
Stu?
I think he'll be back in the NFL.
I don't. I think this is it for Bill. I think Bill's final stop is UNC. Now, to Roddy's point, I think he wants to go back to the NFL. But we just had Bill Belichick sit out a season, right? His public image for a while was kind of restored. People were like, oh my God, Bill Belichick's smiling. Oh my God, Bill Belichick's actually happy. Oh, Bill's probably easier to work with. And he got nothing. Now, I know he left for UNC before the hiring cycle started, but don't you think someone would have said, hey, Bill, wait a week or two. Hush, hush, wink, wink. We're going to hire you. But no one ever did that. So with him now being out of the NFL, what's going to be two seasons, do I foresee Bill Belichick getting a call from somewhere else? I just don't know where it would be. The Falcons were the team, ironically, because he's responsible for their most embarrassing moment as a franchise. They are the ones that messed this up for Bill to get back to the NFL because McKay and Fontenot were afraid that they were going to lose their jobs. And then they persuaded Arthur Blank not to hire him. Robert Kraft spoke against him. That's the other thing. Bill and Robert are feuding right now. And Bill even responded a little bit about some of the things that Robert has said. And we all know that Robert Kraft has a ton of power in the NFL. So if Bill's not getting along with Robert, can Robert communicate to the other 31 NFL owners? Yeah, we prefer you not to hire Bill Belichick. Think about how petulant and how petty and how just obnoxious that is, that even has to be a statement. So yes, I would rather prefer Bill Belichick being in the NFL. It is sad to me, no matter how he spins it, that Bill Belichick is coaching at UNC. And I know Michael Lombardi, right, who basically milks off the teat of when Bill Belichick could sit there and be like, yeah, no, we wanted to go to college. No, you didn't. Stop. Bill got rejected by the NFL. I love Bill Belichick. My favorite coach of all time. But Bill got rejected by the NFL. And I don't think the NFL now, which is going to be 2 years removed, is all of a sudden going to start coming in and calling for him again. So I think once Bill is there for a year and we go through another hiring cycle next year, and I know the buyout is criminally low, like $1 million I think it is now. Once we go through another year of Bill not getting hired by the NFL, that's in two seasons with Bill out of the NFL, because last year, then this year, and then it would be one more if he doesn't get hired the next cycle. That's 3 years of Bill being out of the league. I don't think the NFL then is coming and calling to Bill Belichick when he would then be 75. So I think that UNC is the final stop, and who would have ever thought that Bill, A, would be head coach in college, but that would be the final stop of his career, or the next stop after his career in New England. He wouldn't at least get an opportunity to be an NFL head coach again. But that's where I'm at right now. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Come on back. Two teams that did not make the playoffs last year that are not named the Bengals or 49ers that I'm fascinated by, that Samter's fascinated by, and that Stu's fascinated by entering this season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.